We spoke earlier of the slippery slope of sin. And I don't think that I have to express to you, because you don't know that. Really, everyone knows here how easy it is to get into something and to just touch upon it, and pretty soon to think that I have it under control. And much to my dismay, I find that it has me. I'm under Satan's control. I want us to see that as we find the place that the man of God, because he was that, I don't want to call him a man of God, but a righteous man, now has placed those that belong to him in. They now have not only a home in Sodom, but this man is now involved in the political affairs of this city. What a solemn thing. He's found a place here. He's found a place in the city that God says, I'm going to judge. And he's here involved with it as though he should be a part of it. The two angels came to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Dear young people, you and I will never change this world. This world is going on to judgment. I haven't been put here to change the world. I haven't been put here to make it a better place. I could no more make this world a better place than Lot could make Sodom a better place. But oh, the desperate place that he put his family and his loved ones in. The hurt and the sorrow that is yet to come. He sat in the gate, and Lot, seeing them, rose up and went to meet them. And then it says he bowed himself with his face to the ground. I'm not sure why he did. Maybe it's because of reverence for them. Maybe the man of God is ashamed of the place that he's in this city. I don't know. He should have been anyway, shouldn't he? Tony, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was just going to make the connection that we are, that the evening here, I believe, is an indication that the time is running out. The day of grace in which we live, it's this dark period that God is saving souls, and it's just before the daybreak. And so the angels appear to Lot at evening. Do you remember when the disciples were in a boat? It was the fourth watch of the night. And so we have to always be conscious, young people, that in this scene of the Lord's rejection, in this time period, where it's the darkest, the enemy of our souls want us to sit in the gates of the cities. He wants us to be embedded there. He wants us to be tied up with its social and political issues, as Brother Chuck has said. But you know, the grace of God is also seen in this time period in the evening. And so the angels come. And you know, I like to believe that in spite of the fact that Lot was a very weak Christian, one who didn't know separation, he still had the mark of God upon him. And so even though that light was flickering very dimly, it was still there because he belongs to God. And so he could recognize that these were men that were sent by God. And so he had to make obeisance to them. He invites them into his home because there's something that is going to stir within the heart of a child of God, always, because you belong to him. We might suppress it. We might set it aside. We might rationalize it, our behavior. But Lot also knew in his own soul about the wickedness of Sodom. I think he sat in the gate because he thought perhaps he might make a difference. He thought perhaps that he might be able to show them a better way, a higher moral way than what they were living. But you see, when the men of the city came upon Lot, he said, look at this man. You know what he came here just to spend a little time. Remember? We used to see him out there in the plains. He had this tent. And we used to look and say, boy, who's that? Somebody said, that's Lot. Well, what's he doing out there? Well, he's a pilgrim. He's just passing by. And then the next thing you know, he's got a house in Sodom. He's put down his stakes. He's eating and drinking and being involved in all of the daily activities of what's going on in Sodom. And then all of a sudden, you know, he says, boy, this is a pretty bad place. Let me see if I can help. And they say to him, oh, now look at you. You're the one that was just passing by, and now you want to set yourself as a ruler over us. Isn't this the way the world works? You see, young people, the moment you sit in your classes and certain things come up and you don't say anything, boy, you're a nice guy. Oh, you go to church? That's great. The moment you take a stand, the world is going to say, who do you think you are? And much more when we mix and there's no separation and our hands are turning in the same things that they are, when we try to stand for God, they're going to say, you know what? You're a hypocrite. Don't you remember what you were doing with us the other day? Don't you remember the good times we had? But you see, God in mercy sent these two men to bring Lot out of this deplorable place because judgment was coming.
Also, on the same note, so yes, the evening has come. It's the very end, and God says, all right, I've heard all this stuff, and I'm going to give them one more chance. And so I'm going to go down to Sodom, and I'm going to see what they're going to do. And incidentally, he also gives Lot the chance. That is, he goes down to Sodom, and you see the Sodom, they don't repent. They're so bad that even after they're struck blind, they still keep trying all night. But Lot, even though he's misguided, flickering, he makes even some really bad ideas in his attempted defense of the angels. Even so, he's still trying to stem it. But his testimony is so far gone that...
I want to say, if you're done, I started back at verse 8 because I wanted to drive a point home. Dear young people, his moral judgment is flawed. I mean, you stop and look at what this man has said here. Let's read the verse. I have two daughters which have not known man. I pray you, bring them out unto you. Look at this. Do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. What an awful thing. But this is what happens when we're not walking with the Lord. We don't have spiritual discernment. We don't have the ability of God to make right decisions when we're not walking with the Lord. And so we make decisions that end up leaving scars. And I hope scar is the worst thing that it leaves if you've made some of these, because we've heard Tony use the expression last evening, and we've used it, of baggage, of things that will never be gotten rid of things that, in fact, your soul can be restored. But physically, the scars will remain. An alcoholic who is converted to Christ will be a saved man, or if he's gotten away from the Lord, he will be restored. But the effects of alcohol on his liver and on his body will always be there until the Lord comes or the Lord takes him home. And you can look at the various things that are around us in this world today. Here was a horrible decision in reference to the most precious things this man had. Two daughters. Here, you just take them. You just do as you see fit. You see, this is where we need this walk with the Lord. And, you know, I can't live in Sodom. I can't be at home in Sodom and walk with the Lord too. You just can't do it.